everybody. Welcome back to The Young Turks. Anna Kasparian, Brett Ehrlich, and Kim Horcher with you. Cenk is rushing to a flight. He's going to fly somewhere. I'm not entirely sure where, but he will be gone for the rest of the week.
The sky, apparently. He's flying through the sky.
Yes, that's typically what happens. I don't envy him because flying is pretty much a nightmare these days. But hopefully he has a smooth and safe flight. Anyways, all right, we have lots of great stories for you guys. Remember to use the hashtag TYTLive to tweet to us, and we'll read them during the breaks and respond to them when we come back. And later on in this hour, we will discuss the latest Star Trek series and how some people are upset about it, which is good because Kim Horcher is a bit of an expert on this. And Brett, you like movies and stuff. Well, it's not a movie, it's
Ida
a series.
Ida Roller is going to be so jealous.
I do it all. I'm sitting in for Ida Roller today, probably.
No, you can't match him.
No, can't match him.
You don't.
Can only seek to
this
destroy
is a fact.
Him. Yeah, no, I can't
Star
match
Trek,
him.
In Star Trek.
He knows a lot. He's a big Star Trek
Oh,
fan.
I didn't know he was a big Star Trek
I didn't
fan.
Either.
He and I have matching the Next Generation jackets.
That's
wow.
true.
I'm
That's
Command
special.
And he's Operations.
Obvs.
Nice. Yeah. All right, guys, let's get started with some of the stories, including what's going on in New Orleans. The mayor of New Orleans has just given a speech that is going viral because of the fact that he has said something that a lot of politicians are afraid to say. Now, the whole speech had to do with the fact that New Orleans has taken down four statues that were dedicated to Confederate soldiers. And of course, this has led to a lot of heated debate. Some who argue that the statue should have remained up, others who argue that no, it's actually a terrible reminder of the way African Americans were treated in American history, and it's offensive, so it should be taken down. Well, Mayor Mitch Landrieu of New Orleans says, look, here is the reality of these statues. They're wrong, and this is why I'm taking them down. The city of New Orleans removed a 16-foot statue of General Robert E. Lee from the center of Lee Circle. This was the last of four Confederate monuments that were taken down in the city after the city council had declared them to be a public nuisance. Now, I am going to play one of two videos that show the mayor giving this speech, and you'll get an understanding for why it went viral. Take a look.
So let's start with the facts. The historic record is clear. Robert E. Lee, Jeff Davis, PGT Beauregard statues were not erected to just honor these men, but as part of a movement which became known as the Cult of the Lost Cause. This cult had one goal and one goal only, through monuments and through other means to rewrite history, to hide the truth, which is that the Confederacy was on the wrong side of humanity. First erected 166 years after the founding of our cities, 19 years after the Civil War, these monuments that we took down were meant to rebrand the history of our city and the ideals of the Confederacy. It is self-evident that these men did not fight for the United States of America. They fought against it. They may have been warriors, but in this cause, they were not patriots. These statues are not just stone and metal. They're not just innocent remembrances of a benign history. These monuments celebrate a fictional, sanitized Confederacy, ignoring the death, ignoring the enslavement, ignoring the terror that it actually stood for.
So some strong language there. Again, you don't hear a lot of politicians talk about how unpatriotic the Confederates were during the Civil War. You know, you see a lot of politicians using language carefully as a way of avoiding offending people. And so I think the fact that he used such strong language in that speech is why it's getting so much attention. He was strong. He was extremely strong in what he was saying.
Yeah, it's absolutely right. And the argument against it is like you're taking down some kind of legacy, some kind of history. And I'm fine with that. It's sending a message when you put out a statue like this in the middle of a big public square. Someone walking by would look at it and say, okay, apparently they like this person. You don't put up statues of people that you vilify unless it is very clear that you are vilifying it in a specific context.
I mean, that's what the mayor was saying with the Lost Cause, which is this whole false narrative or false history, if that's how you want to categorize it, that minimizes or erases slavery's role in the Civil War and builds this idea that it's this noble cause and it's honorable and you're preserving the South, but it's not based on reality. If we just accepted everything that was considered historic or part of history as something that we would
celebrate
and memorialize forever, do you know how ridiculous our society should be or would be if that happened?
Right, so let me clarify something, because I think what you guys are saying is no one's trying to erase history, right? There's a difference between learning about, you know, historical truths in a museum versus having, you know, Confederate statues in a public area that, you know, essentially celebrates those individuals. So I don't think that it's a good idea to ever do things, including burning books or, you know, pretending as though, you know, dark elements of our past don't exist. Those are things that we should learn about. Those are things that we should know about. But unfortunately, what has happened in terms of the Civil War is this ridiculous, like, whitewashing of the situation. And I remember one of the first segments that I did regarding the Confederate flag got an interesting response, because, you know, I talked about the Confederacy and how they wanted to maintain, you know, this society that is okay with slaves, and people lost them. It's not about slavery, it's about property rights.
Right, those comments are already in the comment section.
Like right now.
After seeing the title of this video.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think it's important for people to learn about the Confederates. I think it's important for people to learn about what actually happened in the Civil War. But it doesn't make sense to celebrate individuals who literally risk their lives in order to, you know, have slavery, you know, avoid abolishing slavery.
Also, there's still I did a song about this on our Facebook page called "There's a Shit Ton of Racist Monuments in America." There's at least 9 high schools named for Robert E. Lee still, and there's Jefferson Davis County. And I understand people who say, like, Confederate soldier memorials are remembering the dead who fought for a certain cause. And part of that argument is along the lines of, hey, listen, whether you support the cause or not, support the troops. And that kind of instinct, I'm not clearly gonna get behind it. I'm sure there are a lot of touching stories of families who were torn apart because one person was like, listen, I don't support the Confederacy's support of slavery, but I need to protect my farm against General Sherman, who's about to annihilate it and burn it to the ground because that's his strategy. Those are the kinds of things that are different than, say, like the Edmund Pettus Bridge. Edmund Pettus ran the Klan. Also, Nathan Bedford Forrest's bust is in the State House in Nashville. Like, it's in there. You walk past it, and he started the Klan. Now, I don't think every statue by someone who had a role in the Confederacy should be removed, but I don't think any of these statues that were removed were, like, artistically compelling statues. They're just a statue. They aren't telling a specific kind of story. There's one statue that should never be destroyed, and it's of Nathan Bedford Forrest, and it's outside Nashville, and somebody made it themselves, and it is the craziest looking thing that's like bright gold, and his eyes look insane. And those kinds of things are so batshit nuts that I think they should stay.
That's interesting.
Because they have artistic value?
Because I don't know, I just think it's so awesome to look at, and it's as ridiculous as the idea of making the statue in the first place.
Right, right. Well, there are politicians who disagree with taking these statues down. As you can imagine, a lot of those politicians reside in Mississippi. So I want to give you a statement from Representative Carl Oliver from Mississippi, who was enraged at the thought that these Confederate statues would be taken down. Here's what he said, graphic 3. If the, and I use the term loosely, leadership of Louisiana wishes to, in a Nazi-ish fashion, burn books or destroy historical monuments of our history, they should be lynched.
Ooh.
That is a statement that he put up on a public forum on social media. And as you can imagine, you know, one of the biggest arguments against these statues is the fact that they perpetuate, you know, a racist culture, that they celebrate people who fought in order to keep slavery intact in the United States. And the fact that he used the word lynched.
Yes.
You're proving their point right. I mean, That is an unacceptable term.
It's revealing.
It is very
revealing. Use that word.
Yeah.
Listen, there's one. Yeah, that guy's ridiculous.
Right.
And it's not even like he misspoke. Some people, it's not even meant they should be pinched. He said they should be like, that's misspeaking. This guy is like, you know what? This is our proud heritage. And usually people that I end up kind of at least understanding where they're coming from say stuff like, we have great food and we have great architecture or something like that. It's like, okay, cool. Just you had a lot of slavery. This one is like, oh, you aren't even veiling your racism. You're putting it right out there in front of everyone.
Exactly. And again, reinforcing the argument that people continuously make about why these Confederate statues are wrong. By the way, just, you know, look, that kind of language is unacceptable, period, regardless of who you are, right? Mm-hmm. You should not be inciting violence.
Right.
Even if you're just an average citizen, don't incite violence. But if you are a representative, using that kind of language is so incredibly dangerous and is so incredibly irresponsible. And unfortunately, he didn't realize that until enough people criticized him for it and called him out. And then he released an apology. So to be fair, let me read you his apology about this. He says, in an effort to express my passion for preserving all historical monuments, I acknowledge the word lynched was wrong. I am very sorry. It is in no way ever an appropriate term.
But the action is fine with me. Like, I shouldn't have used
it. Illegal killing?
He said the word. He said he chose the wrong word, lynched. But he doesn't say we shouldn't have violence, at least in that quote.
Right.
He's saying, like, I said the word I shouldn't have, which I've gone out of my way to kind of avoid. There are organizations, a lot of these monuments are put up by the Sons and Daughters of the Confederacy, two separate organizations that finance things like the ability in a handful of states to still get the battle flag, which is the X, on like the one from whatever it is, like what's the TV show that they did?
The Dukes of Hazzard,
that flag. To have that on your license plate still.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely ridiculous. But it's not just the Confederacy. Like in Wilmington, there's this place called the Humic Ray Playground and Splash Pad.
That sounds kind of fun.
Super fun. And it's like, take your kids on a hot day, play around. There's a slide, water slides and everything. Do you know who Humic Ray was? This is a guy who, when the city council got integrated, he organized essentially a brute squad to go around and he bragged about killing black people and intimidating them away from voting. And he has the Humic Ray Park Playground and Splash Pad.
Man.
The McCarran Airport in Vegas, McCarran, although he was really good for aviation, was an anti-Semite. We still name things after them. We need to take into consideration who we're naming things after. And it's not okay. In the University of Texas, in Austin, there is a mall that you walk down and on the sides are things like the head of like the Postmaster General of the Confederacy. And they're all lined up and there's a big controversy on campus. And one of the things that the defenders of it say is that the guy who financed and organized the financing of this part of the campus decorated it with his heroes. So since he did all the work of getting the money, he decorated it with his heroes, like the guy who made sure that like the correspondence from one general in the Confederacy and the other in their attempt to defend slavery and kill the North. Like that's the kind of people, and just because he organized the financing of it, we should leave these people's statues up? I just don't think so.
Right.
Especially on a place as like liberal and cool as the University of Texas, Austin.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, that's that. I did a lot of research.
Is anybody buying his apology?
I don't think
curious.
So.
Because I don't even care about buying it because I don't care if he means it or not. He said, "Well, I regret I used the term lynching because I didn't hear that before. I never heard of it. It slipped my mind. I was writing in a Facebook post where specific racists like to go and write things. You know, the racists pop up on Facebook all the time with their long posts and then afterwards go, oh, I had this slip of the pen, slip of the keyboard when I was typing the word lynching." But you made sure you had a very careful, detailed message the whole rest of the time. You know, just because someone apologizes doesn't mean that they deserve me to accept it. Mm-hmm. F you and your apology.
Right.
I apologize. I'm so sorry. I don't accept it. Get the hell out of here. You still don't deserve to be in that position.
And keep in mind that two state representatives liked it. And then when one of them was called out, he was like, oh, I know nothing about that. I might have accidentally liked it.
I do that sometimes.
You know what you did.
I'll like Instagram posts without like, really, I'll just automatically
don't like
do it.
Everything.
Yeah, no, that's my, I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm cool.
And then I wanted to add one more thing about this. Look, I think it's also interesting that Representative Oliver represents the same district in Mississippi where Emmett Till was lynched. And so these are all things that, you know, should at least, he should be conscious of these things, okay? And he should understand, you know, what a word like lynched really means. I think people use language way too loosely, and
it's not just, and with this, it's not just statues. Like the state flags of many southern states are odes to the battle flag, and then all, like, look at Mississippi's state flag. It's a mix of the stars and bars and the Confederate battle flag, and they voted over 60% in the state house to keep the two versions of the Confederate flag on their state flag. And these all weren't the pre-existing flags of Mississippi, you know, Georgia, Alabama, whatever. Like the Georgia flag that they just changed is just the stars and bars, which is like the official Confederacy flag with the Georgia logo in the middle. They changed it after the Civil War to maintain this pride in the lost cause.
The lost cause that is, by the way, a whitewashed fake version of history.
Right. Yeah.
California has a bear, though.
We do have a bear that's extinct, actually. There is no California grizzly.
Man, you are a freaking encyclopedia today. Okay.
I did a lot of research for this. Go watch the song.
You guys should definitely check it out. It's on Facebook, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Go to facebook.com/theyoungturks and you can watch Brett's awesome Facebook Originals video on this.
Thank you.
All right. Let's move on to some other news. The new Star Trek series is very much anticipated. People are excited about it. Although there is one group that has been extremely critical because of some of the casting decisions. Now, it does star an Asian actress, Michelle Yeoh, as the ship's captain, and a black actress, Sonequa Martin-Green, as her first officer. Now, as you can imagine, some people are riled up because they equate the casting decisions to so-called white genocide. Okay,
look up what genocide means first before using the term.
Right. Well, it's funny because the same people, same type of people who criticize the casting decisions for Star Trek are also the same kinds of people who pretend like they're very concerned about things like the Armenian genocide. But nonetheless, the series YouTube page has been bombarded by comments labeling the show a SJW, or social justice warrior plot, aimed at shoving political correctness, forced diversity, and even cultural Marxism down viewers' throats. And so just a few examples of tweets that are out there. One person writes, Star Trek introduces white genocide in space as if diversity could make it to space. I don't know what that means.
Don't understand.
That's counter to how it would even work. How are we going to get to space if we're stuck in such, I'll get to it, but you read the rest of it.
Diversity sounds like it's a Star Trek spaceship. It's like
I have a very good quote about this, but I want Anna to finish this.
And then another person writes, Star Trek Discovery, the only males are a Vulcan a-hole and a wimpy helmsman. The show appears to be fully SJW converged. Okay, so before we move on, I just think it's important to note that Star Trek has had diverse casts in the past.
Every single cast has been diverse.
That's right.
Every single one. Since the 60s.
The first interracial kiss happened on Star Trek. And so it's just interesting that these people are riled up about something that they seem to not know much about. But as we look at these photos of, you know, past Star Trek casts, I want you guys to jump in because I know you guys are more knowledgeable about Star Trek than I am. So jump in. Tell me what you think.
I have something I would like to say.
Whoopi Goldberg.
Star Trek was an attempt to say that humanity will reach maturity and wisdom on the day that it begins not just to tolerate, but to take special delight in differences in ideas and differences in life forms. If we cannot learn to actually enjoy those small differences, to take a positive delight in those small differences between our own kind here on this planet, then we do not deserve to go out into space and meet the diversity that is most certainly out there. That is from a book called Star Trek Philosophy. And that is a quote from Gene Roddenberry. Gene Roddenberry is, of course, the creator of Star Trek and the one responsible for anything that you could be a fan of in the Star Trek world. He strongly believed through his own personal quotes and through very many storylines and starting in the original series in the 1960s that diversity was key. He said the glory of creation is in infinite diversity. We must learn to live together or surely we will all die together. The point of Star Trek is to look at a hopeful possible future in which we have discarded these stupid and useless ideas of hatred and focused on something more exemplary of what we could be. It's not about phasers. It's not about tricorders. It's not even about banging green women. It is about humanity and how great we can be if we only focus ourselves. If you don't get that, you don't deserve to be part of this mission.
So
dismissed, that is a Starfleet expression for get out.
Oh, I like it. So basically,
set phasers to burn.
So Star Trek has been on a mission in favor of white genocide from the very beginning, since the 60s.
I will
say, Brad, are you worried about your safety?
Yeah.
As a white man?
I'm generally worried about my safety. But that's just because I'm afraid of volcanoes.
What?
I don't know. There's a giant volcano under Colorado. Anyhow, I do think that Star Trek is a little racist, mm-hmm. only when it's like, oh, those Vulcans, they're so logical.
Well,
Romulans, they're such jerks.
The point of Spock is to, because he's half Vulcan and half human. And, you know, that was kind of a way in the context of the series, because they've surpassed that point of human racism,
right.
where it's just like, oh, well, they don't accept him no matter what, and he has to find his own way, and he becomes cold and logical and more like a machine than a human. And it's just like, he's such an interesting character, but he's such an interesting case study within that world and within the meta of the world, if within the 1960s on Earth.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. And this kind of exposes this one dynamic that happens all the time on the internet where someone just knows that they want to disagree in a specific way. So they don't really even begin to appreciate the source material that incited this disagreement.
They just want to get it if
jump
that's how
over.
You feel.
Yeah.
Right.
It's
right.
great. And you could say that, look at the original Star Trek. It's like all the white dudes were such nerds. And there's like, and then the captain, he's such a slut. He just goes and sleeps around and gets him into trouble. And the Asian dude is fun. And Uhura's fantastic. Like, I don't know. And the other white guy has to be a communist because it was the Cold War.
The thing that I find super interesting about all this is how much this notion of reverse racism has worked, like that type of propaganda has worked, because now, ironically, like you have, a certain group of white people who pay such close attention to the casting decisions of various shows, and they want to make sure there's enough white people there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm white, Brett's white, and so I don't want to speak for you, but I never.
I gotta go.
I mean, we're about to be victims of genocide.
I gotta go enjoy some privilege. I'll be right back.
But I never watch a show or a movie with like a critical eye regarding white casting, right? I've never thought to myself, like, I feel underrepresented while watching the show because there just aren't enough white people. There's something super wrong with you if you're that insecure, if you're that, I don't know what you're afraid of. You have all of the advantages.
You have everything.
You've had everything, right?
You don't understand how important representation is if you've never felt like you haven't been represented. But it's so important. I mean, especially if you're a kid, seeing someone who at least somewhat looks like you. But it doesn't have to be race. It can be maybe your body shape, maybe something very particular about you. When you see a character represented who looks like you, you feel validated. You don't feel like you're an outsider. You feel like you can achieve things and you can do things. And it can mean everything, especially
right.
if you're a child looking at this.
Absolutely. All right, guys, we got to take our first break. So let's do that. And when we come back, more stories. You guys are going to love it, including martial law in the Philippines. What's up, everyone? Welcome back to TYT. Anna, Brett, and Kim with you. All right, so a couple announcements before we continue on with the rest of the stories. Because of you guys, we were able to get a Shorty Award. You guys are amazing. We can't do any of this without you. You also helped us get a Webby because you're badasses. But we have been nominated for a Streamy Award, and it was by a fan who submitted a nomination. And the only way that we can win is if you guys vote for us. So you can nominate the Young Turks in the Streamy Awards, and that happens between May 23rd and June 9th, of course, of this year. News and Culture and Breakout Creator are the two areas that we have been nominated for. Now, who's the Breakout Creator? Turns out it's Hassan Piker.
Yes.
Yes. And for the Young Turks, it's overall social video and subject, news and culture. Anyway, so the links are in that graphic. Check it out, tytnetwork.com/tytstreamies and tytnetwork.com/HassanStreamies. Please vote for us, guys. We really cannot do it without you. All right, a few TYT lives. The Bad Bard says, if you have a problem with Star Trek casting, get over it and set phasers to done.
Yeah, that was better than mine.
That's good.
Yes.
That was better than mine.
And Jacqueline Mary says, as someone with a moderate Louisianan dad who believes Confederacy myths, thank you for taking down the monuments. All right.
Yes.
All right, let's move on to some more stories. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Police in Maryland have suspended an employee who works in their communications department after he was found cheering a black student's stabbing on social media. Now, the black student who unfortunately was stabbed and killed was Richard Collins III. He was stabbed by a man by the name of Sean Urbanski. And Sean Urbanski happens to be a friend of the employee who just got suspended. By the way, not fired, suspended. And by the way, he is in the communications department and he just got suspended for communicating racist stuff on social media. Now, Collins was stabbed to death early Saturday morning. And police have charged University of Maryland student Sean Christopher Urbanski with first and second degree murder. Now, on Facebook, apparently there was an exchange between people who thought that this stabbing was great. It was on Urbanski's Facebook page. One person had written, F yeah, Sean. And then Urbanski responded, that's what happens when, and I'm gonna say it verbatim because I think that, you know, saying N-word takes the—
How do you pronounce asterisks though?
Yeah, I know. Well, we obviously censored it for that reason, but you guys get the point. I'm actually not gonna say it. It's always an uncomfortable thing, but whatever. That's what happens when N-words try and get frosty with an OG, talk shit, get stabbed, LOL. Yeah, real smart. Now at this point, the employee who just got suspended, Welby Burgon, responded by saying, you mess with Crabbo, you get Stabbo. And that's where the trouble comes in. That's where people were offended and decided that it's probably not a good idea for him to work with a local police department in Maryland. Now, the police department did release a statement about this. They said the actions of this employee are a betrayal of the values of the Anne Ardernell County Police Department. Any employee who espouses or supports hateful or racist ideology will be held accountable, and we will not allow the public's trust in their police department to be eroded. Now, again, he's been suspended. That doesn't mean he's been fired. And I don't know if you guys think getting fired is the right response, but if you are hiring someone to work in the communications department of your, local police department, it's probably not a good idea to have someone who's too stupid to understand that writing racist stuff on social media is a bad idea.
No, he should be fired.
Right.
You're there to serve the public, and sometimes the public includes people of other races. So if you can't handle that, maybe you shouldn't be in that position.
What I don't understand is why the crab is holding a knife. Like it has razor sharp pincers. It's a stupid thing anyway.
Yeah.
And this guy was so eager to use this, his like favorite image, that he just blacked out and just put it in there. Couldn't help himself.
Right.
And he did it. And that, I mean, it isn't even like a a clever or good thing that he did. I'm not to, I mean, from the get-go, it's terrible. But I these are one of those things where it's like, yeah, fire the guy. That's stupid. Let's
what,
move on.
What is up with people? First of all, I guess we're so desensitized by murder that people feel comfortable stabbing individuals to death and then bragging about it on social media very publicly, right? But like, what is wrong with these people? Like, this guy literally bragged about it. And by the way, Bergon went to school with the murder suspect. So they're friends. And I guess he's just sympathetic because they happen to be classmates. And he thinks it's totally okay to brag about murdering someone on Facebook.
It does show a lack of empathy and a lack of perhaps understanding that a person was killed, is dead because of what is being called a racially motivated stabbing. And that is what the police said.
I mean, and then it's like the combination of the N-word and the lol from the guy who actually did the stabbing. Like, you already said the N-word and then the lol makes it even worse. I just feel like this is a really easy way to identify terrible people, and we've done it. And I mean, I understand if you put them on suspension until you can make sure that like this particular post was talking about the actual stabbing, because there was a stories that came out recently about what does Facebook do about stuff like this? Facebook had certain protections. It was leaked to The Guardian that like what their internal rubric is for allowing statements. And maybe one of the reasons is they allow statements like this is so you can identify like the terrible people.
Right.
And they say they want to protect like discussion. I'm just trying to find something more, you know, compelling to talk about other than these terrible, terrible people.
Right. Well, here's one thing that, you know, keeps coming up over and over again. Don't you ever have the audacity to say or be part of a movement that wants individuals to understand that Black Lives Matter. Don't you ever be part of that, okay?
Right.
Because all lives matter. All lives are valued, right? You don't need a movement like that. Black lives are valued so much that someone can literally stab an individual to death, a black guy to death, and then brag about it on social media. That's how much Black Lives Matter to some people. Anyway.
Even if it wasn't like a racially motivated attack, don't brag about it. The thing is, like, this is celebrating some kind of defense of either the individual or worse, like the master race.
Yeah.
It's fucking terrible. It makes me sick. We should talk about it more.
All right, I would like to, but we have to move on to a story that I promised the audience. There's some pretty crazy stuff happening in the Philippines, so let's go there. The president of the Philippines has just declared martial law in one of its islands. And part of the reason why he has done that is because there is an ISIS-backed militant group that is clashing with local police and also with the military in the Philippines. Now, Rodrigo Duterte declared martial law in the country's second largest island. Fighting broke out between the army and Islamic State in Iraq and Syria affiliated militants. So this island, which will be under martial law for 60 days, has been the site of ongoing skirmishes between Philippine troops and police against the ISIS-backed Maute militant group. Now, just so you know what recently happened, which led to the declaration of the martial law for 60 days, nearly 50 gunmen entered Marawi City and occupied City Hall, a hospital and a jail. They allegedly raised a black Islamic State style flag at the gate of a hospital. The gunmen also burned buildings. So far, two soldiers and one police officer were killed and 12 wounded in the clashes. Now, let's quickly cut to a video of Rodrigo Duterte talking about this incident and why he declared martial law.
Just a few days ago, and in the past months, I have always said, do not force my hand into it. Because if I start to declare martial law, I will solve all the problems of Mindanao connected with law and order. As president, if I cannot confront them, I will resign. If I am incompetent and incapable of keeping order in this country, let me step down and give the job to somebody else.
So this is a hard situation because on one hand, if you are noticing an emergence of a terrorist group in your country, you want to do anything and everything to stop it. But the issue is Rodrigo Duterte has been a controversial figure, especially considering the fact that he has been very much in favor of vigilante justice and extrajudicial killings against those who either use or traffic drugs. And so he seems very authoritarian to begin with, and then you use words or policies like martial law, and of course it raises red flags. So look, I totally understand wanting to take action against a terrorist organization in your country. But again, considering the fact that we're talking about Rodrigo Duterte, understandably, some people are a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, he should step down. That is not how a strong leader fights ISIS. You don't put your own citizens at risk on the front lines. He thinks the answer to everything is just to threaten violence or just actually use violence, and he has no care for who it affects and who it hurts. And this is going to be your own citizenry.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, he tries to exert a strong stance. This is not a small island. This is one of the larger islands. I think it's the second largest
island.
Yeah, in Philippines. So, and then also the dynamic he sets up with, like, if I can't maintain control, I'll resign.
Then resign.
Right, but then it's like, oh, I don't want to resign. I'm going to do everything in my power to maintain control. And then also saying he has control. It's kind of implying it. I mean, he had a statement where he said the government is in full control of the situation and is fully aware.
Apparently, like, they're not in full control of the situation, which is why you're taking, you know, some draconian measures in order to deal with this. And keep in mind, under martial law, government troops will, quote, carry out searches and arrests and detain rebel suspects more quickly. Offenses would also be staged in other southern provinces plagued by extremist groups. The reason why I'm reading you that statement from their defense secretary is because they're already in favor of things like extrajudicial killings. That means you suspect someone is using drugs or trafficking drugs, murder them. Okay, 7,000 people have been murdered since Duterte was elected last year. And so it's cause for concern. I totally understand why people are worried about it. I think there are other ways to battle terrorist groups, but this is what's happening in the Philippines. Anyway, guys, we gotta go. Thank you so much for watching. For our members, stick around. We will have a post-game show. And for everyone else, have a great night. We will see you tomorrow.